All right, we are here. Welcome. Welcome. Well, you're courageous. You're courageous because you're coming to listen to a topic that most people, when they just touch around the edge of this topic, will run as fast as they can in the opposite direction. You're courageous because you have a will and you have a knowing that when you know something, when you are exposed to the truth, that you become more, that you become more empowered, more free, more loving, and more trusting of the divine plan for you. It takes courage to persevere when the world, in its worldly sense and its feedback, sometimes to people who are on a spiritual path, is that, well, that's just your interest, and that's real nice, but it kind of, you're a little bit loony, you're a little bit out on the edge, you know. Yeah, it's glad you like it, but you know, it's not really that important. What may be important is to, you know, go to church every Sunday or go to your spiritual gathering and so that you don't lose points towards your salvation or towards your, you know, heaven experience or whatever. You know, you courageous beings, you, that your reality is up to you. And to a certain extent, you also know that you and your reality are working together in a partnership that is actually friendly. Your world doesn't have it against you. You're not a victim. And so you're willing to listen to what goes on there as your greatest obstacle to spiritual joy, bliss, love, light, enlightenment, and transcendence. The object of being here in your life, the object actually of coming to physical plane in the first place, you have a purpose, and that purpose was to discover how to create as God's yourself. But you wanted to create from scratch. You wanted to create from a totally different perspective. You thought it would be exciting, adventurous, for you to branch out into the unknown. But in order to do so, you had to forget who you were. Because if you remembered that you were divine, which is what you knew before you came into physical existence, and what you discover every time in between lifetimes, then you wouldn't have explored something new. You wouldn't have created all sorts of illusions and then played with the illusions and discovered where the truth was. You would already know. And those who already know, who chose not to be physical, which is the majority of souls, went into that, their own kind of unfoldment, progression. And they are growing and changing in their own way. And they're learning how to become creators and masterful creators indeed. But they didn't take the adventurous path that you did. Because you said, I want to experience everything. And if you know, the adventurous spirit is a person who wants to experience the whole range, the whole gamut. You didn't say, I'm just going to stay in bliss, you know, forever. You said, I want to go and experience all sorts of exciting things. I want to experience the senses. I want to experience emotions. I want to experience darkness and light, which, of course, doesn't exist outside of this physical universe. So you came here as willingly gave up your knowledge, your awareness of who you were, knowing that you were going to pick it up again knowing that you were going to rebuild it from interesting perspectives based on your exploration. Well, when you came in, you experienced pain as well as pleasure. You experienced fear as well as love. You experienced discouragement as well as hope. You experienced helpless anger and rage as well as passion. And you learned what these energies were. You learned the opposites that they were, because this is a world of duality. And in a world of duality, there are what are known as opposites. And you don't think that you can fear and still feel safe in love. You don't think that you can be really angry and yet have a gentle flow of delightful passion. Somehow or another, you separate out these pieces so that you can explore them all separately and learn about them. And in the process of learning about them, learn a little more about you. And over time, you learn more and more about who you are. And you begin to recognize more and more that you are divine by your nature. But one of the reasons that we come to speak with you is because you got a little bit off track. We say just a little bit, because yes, you did want to experience everything, but you got obsessed with the negative stuff and got obsessed with experiencing the negative so much so that you began to resist it, to fight it, to struggle with it. And you were unaware that when you fight something or when you struggle with something, that you are fighting and struggling within yourself. The battle is within you. The conflict is inside. Some people like to put it on the outside. You know, they're the enemy. But you have no external physical plane enemy that's as malicious and devastating as your own inner voices. You can destroy yourself. Indeed, that's what most people work on for some time in their life until they get it. Oh, I can take charge of this. I can change. I can heal. You see, you're working in an illusion. It's a play you've put together. But all is still one. The many is one. You're made up of the same substance as God, Goddess, all that is. And every person is made up of the same substance. Every animal, every plant, rocks, everything on the planet is made up of this same substance. So therefore, if you are in an antagonistic position with someone in a relationship, for example, the two of you are one, but if you're in an antagonistic position, the two of you are playing out that which is inside you, because everyone is inside you. Think for a moment, you're all that is. Think that all these people that you know, you've created through the illusion in order to play out certain experiences you want to discover so that you can create, so that you can know more of who you are, and so that you can experience the substance that is real, the substance of the oneness, which is love. You have created us, and we thank you. But what you have also created is the illusion that you are separate from the divine. And you got obsessed with it. You fell for it. You made it real. You made it so real that you lose your life to it. you lose your success, your love, your joy, your fun. All gets drained out by this energy of separation, a delusion, if you will. And as you feel the separation, you experience the darker states of being and the darker or more limiting emotions. The most limiting emotion is not fear, nor is it anger, nor is it even hurt. The most limiting emotional state of being is shame. Because in shame, you feel that you are flawed. You're incomplete. You have been abandoned by the divine into a hell hole of a life, into a world which is antagonistic, violent, into an environment that is toxic and unpleasant, into circumstances that are stressful and demanding. You're overwhelmed. You're frustrated. You feel powerless. It's all rooted back to a belief that you are not divine. It's a belief that holds you from the experience of the oneness. And of all the things that you came to learn, the belief that you are at one moment, that you are divine by your nature, and that you are empowered as a being, as a created being, you co-creating with the divine in you, with the greater divine of God, Goddess, all that is, to create a life so that you could approach and work with certain themes. The magic of it all. You are separated from. You're separated from the divine flow. You're separated from the ecstasy, from the bliss. Because if you do not think you are divine, you do not think you are worthy of the happiness. You don't think you're worthy of the love and the bliss and the joys and the fun. There are whole philosophies based on life is work. Take this stuff seriously. God is looking over your shoulder all the time. God is judging you, judging your performance. And you better praise God. You better try to placate God, try to, you know, get on the good side, and then maybe God will give you something. Because you don't deserve it. You're flawed. You're one of God's mistakes. God's abandoned you. You got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You got to work at improving yourself. And once you fall for that, you're trapped. You're trapped in shame, you're trapped in guilt, and you're trapped in judgment. Shame is the belief that you're flawed. It is a belief. It is something you chose to believe. It was given to you by your parents and by everybody who kind of came in contact with you when you were young, reinforcing it. It comes with your culture. It comes with your training, your social training on how to interact with other people. It comes as a threat. You will be shamed. You will be ridiculed, humiliated, rejected, and hurt if you're not perfect, if you're not performing correctly. You've got to redeem yourself. To become clean again, to become pure, to be loved by God again, to be accepted by the divine. All of this is fake stuff. None of it is real. It was all put together by some twisted and distorted minds in a way to manipulate, control, and gain power. Insecure, fearful minds created this idea. And it got entrenched in your culture. So you've grown up with shame. Not a one of you has escaped it. It is embedded into your unconscious mind, into your subconscious mind, and in as well as your conscious mind. If you will listen to the inner self talk during your day, if you do something really stupid, listen to what it says. Listen how it tells you how inept you are, inadequate, how you can't ever seem to do anything right, how it will roll out this negative story about you, about every time this type of thing happens, this is what goes on. And you're going to fail. You're not going to make it really well. You're going to be mediocre at best. So just, you know, put up with it. Adjust to it. Shame creates in people tremendous responses and reactions to deal with the pain of it, because it hurts really badly to feel that God does not love you, to feel separate from the divine within you as well as who you see as the greater divine of God, Goddess, all that is, to feel so unsafe, so unloved, without value and worth, to feel incensed, unlovable. How could anyone love you? You're such a mess. That's shame. Now, shame is embellished by guilt and judgment. Judgment is what holds the shame in place. Judgment is where you place limiting negative or limiting beliefs into your life and live according to them as if they were true. And anyone who does not live according to this system of limiting beliefs, most of which were given to you by authorities when you were small, you will judge them. They're not right. They're not correct. Anytime that you feel threatened, you will judge whoever it is that threatens you. They're bad. They're mean. They're malicious. They're evil. That's a favorite. When you have a relationship and the other person doesn't make you happy, you will judge them. You will judge your partner. Because you will look at your partner's flaws, your partner's weaknesses. They will become magnified when you're angry and upset that your partner's not fulfilling your fantasy of safety and love and is bringing to you that love and safety and freedom and joy and so forth that you've been looking for. You'll judge your partner. You'll see their weaknesses. You'll see their flaws. And you'll point it out to them too. You'll have miscommunications galore, leading to arguments. And when shame comes up, you'll shame them and they'll shame you. Or you'll shame them and they will fight you. Or they will shame you and you will hide. Or you'll fight them. A lot of the violence in the world, in fact, pretty much all of it, comes from this essential core place of shame. The pain is so much, the only way to get out of it, out of the stuck place where energy is absolutely immobilized, is to move energy. And to move it with such intensity that you can break out of the logjam, and this energy of intensity, this great energy of intensity, is anger leading to rage, leading to violence. Whatever level of stuckness you are will determine whether you react with anger, rage, or violence. And you will discharge it. And then with shock, you'll realize, oh my God, what did I do? I lost control. I acted like an idiot. I did bad things. I hurt people. And then you shame yourself and stick yourself back down in there. You judge yourself, you shame yourself, you judge, shame, 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 judge, until you're back into a little tiny tight box, back into that little dark cubbyhole again. Judgments are also a way you've been trained to make decisions. And we went into this in detail on how to make powerful choices, one of these love and healing evenings. If you want more detail, please order that through the website. But essentially, you are taught to make judgments in order to make decisions. And so what you would do is that you would make decisions of what you chose to believe. And that became part of your judgment. That any time there was an opportunity to lift out of a limiting belief, you would have a judgment about it. You would resist. It's what psychologists find when they talk to their clients about the possibility of change and offering them freedom. The clients will argue for the limitation. No, I can't go there because I have this problem. And the psychologist will say, no, you have this problem because you keep going here. But psychology, generally as a rule, doesn't tend to address how to release that shame and how to make decisions not by judgment, but by preference. You see, you use judgment to prioritize and put things in order. This is more important. You judge that. This is important. That is not important. This is more important. This is less important. When you make these types of judgments, it is limiting. When you have cause and effect, where you try to figure out why did something happen? Or why is my life so sucky? Or why is this? Or why is that? You look to a limiting belief to explain what is wrong. And you don't even necessarily go for a limiting belief, you just go for a cause and effect. Okay, if I feel this bad, this is the effect. What was the cause? And you go hunting in your past to find the cause. Oh, it must be that. And when you find that cause, you say, okay, every time that happens, I'm going to feel like this. And you stick yourself. Every time you judge somebody else for not being what you want them to be, or you judge yourself, you are sticking yourself, you're cramping yourself, you're shrinking yourself back down into a little tiny, tiny hole, little box, little black box. Judgment is never freeing. You can have a preference without any judgment. You can be discriminating without judging. Discriminating in the positive sense of the term. Not in sense of discriminating against. But in a sense of being aware that, for example, a person that's in your life is not trustworthy. Then when you are offered the opportunity to, say, invest energy with this person, go into business with this person, and you see that this person is not trustworthy, you don't have to judge the person. You've seen it that many times you try to call them, they will not call you back. Many times that they say they'll be and do what they say they will be and do, they won't. You'll figure it out. Oh, they're not trustworthy. You don't have to judge the person. But you know that that person is not trustworthy. So that you can make the decision to not throw your lot in life in with this person. And if you do, you know full well what's going to happen. You don't have to judge anyone. You can love a person and say no thank you. Some of you don't think you're allowed to say no. we want to tell you, you're allowed to say no. It's not a judgment to say no. It's your preference. You see, you can make a limiting belief. You say, oh, we want you to come to this event with us. And you think about, oh, I don't want to go to that event at all. Oh, I've got to find some excuse. And so you call up the, oh, no, I've got this emergency I got to deal with. Oh, I'm sick. No, I don't have the money. No, I'm blah, blah, blah. And you find all these excuses. These become limiting beliefs, and they become judgments on you because you're not being true to yourself. You need to be aware of what judgments you carry and to let them go. And you need to then, therefore, be aware of what your preferences and choices are. There's not an either or. You don't have to choose something and then negate something else. That's a judgment. You can also do a positive judgment where you can tell a person, you know, you're really good at this and you're really terrific at this, to kind of butter them up so that you can get them to do something for you. But that can be also a positive judgment. A lot of children have tremendous difficulty in school because they're under so much performance pressure to get A's or to succeed or to make the team or whatever it is, that they carry this tremendous sense of pressure on them all the rest of their life. And they will judge themselves relentlessly, staying stuck. Where did you do it for you? Where did you start sticking yourself? Shame and judgment, so limiting. Where did you judge yourself as being strong, and therefore now you have to carry everybody on your back? You see, you have positive judgments and negative judgments, but they're both limiting because they bring you a story of you that is not free. It's a story, a life that is imprisoned. And underneath it all is shame. Every time you judge, you reinforce your shame, your sense of alienation from the divine. Every time you judge, you anchor yourself deeper into the sense of isolation, loneliness, separation, and pain. That's why in the East, in many traditions, they talk about life is suffering. What is a suffering? The suffering isn't necessarily physical, emotional pain. You're suffering all the time when you believe in the illusion of separation from the divine. Now, guilt, as part of this trifecta, or trinity, you might say, the dark trinity, guilt is anchored into shame, that you are never able to be enough, do enough, get enough achieved, and redeem yourself. Redemption is just a few years away, and you got to work really, 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 really hard. And maybe you can pull it off. Maybe one day you can be perfect, and then you will be redeemed. And God will say, oh, my dear beloved child, you made it. I welcome you into my arms. You're safe. You're pure again. You're free. But with all the judgments, and with all the shame being anchored into the judgments, guilt never seems to leave. There's guilt that somehow or another you haven't done enough. Guilt that you've gone and made the wrong decisions and gone off your path, gone out off track. Guilt that you've been a bad person, even though if you think about it logically, certain these circumstances where you think that somehow or another you're not good, not a good person. And you're not a good person if you were to get angry there, or you're not a good person if you were to stand up for yourself, or if you're not a good person if you were to say no, then you hold guilt over how you have to adjust and limit yourself to please others or to feel you're okay somehow, to alleviate your guilt, you're motivated to do all sorts of things because guilt is used as your motivator by your slave driver. The slave, inner slave driver is the part of you that whose job it is to crack the whip and push you, get you off your butt, and get you doing stuff, achieving and fulfilling your performance capacity, to fulfilling your optimum so that you can get absolved of your guilt, so that you can finally be free of it and have permission to rest, have permission to play, have permission to love, have permission to be free, have permission to have a vacation and R&R for yourself. Guilt is what keeps you from ever really loving yourself. Because as long as you feel guilty, you're going to judge yourself. You're going to stick yourself down in the little box of shame. And you will not be able to see the face of the divine. You will not be able to escape suffering. You'll be suffering. The more you believe in shame and separation, the more you will suffer. The end of suffering comes with the end of separation, or at the end of the illusion of separation, to be more accurate. When you get it, that you're not separate, you're never alone, you're always connected to the divine, you just are not looking at it and don't believe it. You will find that your life will seem devoid of the divine. You will be suffering. But if you can acknowledge that all is one, even if you don't quite totally believe it yet, if you can acknowledge that all is one, that every other person is just another aspect of you you've brought into your life in your manifestation, that the choices of your life are up to you, your preferences, that your universe or your reality works with you in a very positive and loving and supportive way. You don't have to make it work. You don't have to push and drive yourself. That there is no redemption needed. You're not bad people. There's no bad person anywhere. Even Adolf Hitler was not a bad person, but he certainly was twisted. He certainly was shamed. He was in his shame, and he was angry, and he felt guilty, and he lashed out in violence and judgment. Every one of you has done this, not on that scale, but on a smaller scale. And you think, oh, I've made a great sin. I've done something terrible. Some of you have this feeling hanging over you, I've done something terrible, and you have no clue what it is. It just hangs over you. And some of you are always feeling, oh, I've got to achieve, I've got to be productive, I've got to get something done, I've got to get forward to that next moment where there's something important that's going to happen, or something that where my destiny is. I've got to get there. I've got to get there. I've got to get there. I've got to get out of here and get there. And there's something in the future that's more important than now. And you're in a hurry and you get impatient. This is guilt working. Guilt drives people. There is no benefit. Some people say there's a benefit of judgment and guilt and shame because it improves you, that it toughens you. You build your character. You redeem yourself. You do good things, and that takes care of it. It never does completely. Not in your emotional body. It's not a good motivation to have. It's not a good way to live. There's no positive benefit to guilt, shame, and judgment. There is no benefit. We want to repeat that. There is no benefit. None. It is all fake crap. Stuff you bought and you automatically repeat to yourself over and over and over. Now, being on the spiritual path, you've done a lot of work in dismantling all sorts of pieces of guilt and shame and judgment. And you may be way, way, way better than you were only a couple of years ago, say. You grow. And that's the beauty of growth. But if you will look at the trend of your growth, you'll see that every positive growth step you make means that you judge yourself less. You motivate yourself less by guilt and more by choice and preference. And you don't shame yourself anymore. That should give you a clue that if you'll just go for the nitty-gritty, go for the core, you can make an extraordinary leap of personal and spiritual development. You can leap into freedom, into your joy, into your empowerment, into incredible states of bliss and love. But you have to give up these three. You cannot play around with them. They're dangerous. They're very dangerous. Shame, guilt, and judgment will kill you. And we mean it. They are serious. Don't play around with them. What most people do is they play around with them and then they have their reaction to them and they go numb. They hide. They get all scattered and fragmented. They run around and panic. They try to manipulate and control somebody. People have all sorts of responses to it to distract themselves from the pain and torture of it rather than going for it and saying, okay, I'm going to get rid of the suckers. Let me clear this stuff out. We want to emphasize it is not real. It is not real. It is an illusion. An illusion. And you're living making an illusion real. And the amount of joy and happiness in your life is in direct proportion to the amount that you've given away and let go of these three. So we invite you, courageous ones that you are, that when you feel the bite, when you feel the seduction of shame, of judgment, of guilt, say no. Say no. I'm more than that. I'm okay. I'm enough. And I am in choice because I'm empowered being by right of being divine by my very nature. You can do it. And the battle, the change, everything is within your power. It's inside you. There's nothing you have to prove out there in the world, nothing out that you have to do out there to make your life happy. You don't have to work hard, make a lot of money to be happy. But you do have to let go of and heal the shame, the judgment, and the guilt. And we're going to take you through a release process of that to close up the evening. So between now and then, just think within yourself, where do I buy into this shame, this unlovable, this unworthy aspect of myself? Where do I still hold on to the dark stuff? Where do I still judge myself and stick myself in a little box and think I'm not enough or not okay? And where do I still motivate myself out of guilt? Guilt is a tricky one. Because even if your life is going really, really well, you can feel tremendous guilt about it. It's like survivor's guilt, you know? Survivor's guilt. The plane crash goes down. 80 people die, 2 people live. these people are racked with guilt. Why was I spared? Why didn't I die? Does God want something extra heavy and important from me? What do I have to do to live up to this gift? Those of you whose lives are getting better and better, you can go into that place too. Why am I doing better and others are not? Is there something I should be doing? I need to be doing something more. I need to work more. I need to do something. You know, I would need to give something back more. I don't know. I need to redeem myself somehow. I don't know for what, but I got to. It's because you don't identify with the group anymore. If you're doing really well financially, for example, and your friends are having major financial problems, it's kind of hard to sit around with them and have a nice chat when they're all complaining about their financial problems, and you don't belong. You don't belong. Same thing can be true if you're in a group with a whole bunch of people who have plenty of money and you're pinching pennies and barely making it. You don't belong. You don't feel worthy. You don't feel good enough. Dear ones, you did not come here to belong. You already belong. You're part of the oneness. You belong to the divine. And if you will honor that, you will never be lonely. So we're going to close for right now, and Daniel will have the microphone, and you raise your hands if you want to ask a question, and he will choose someone, and he will bring you the microphone.
I forgot my question.
My question is that I'm slated to have surgery on a blood vessel because in the back of my head because I had a stroke, and the MRI says that it is because of a narrowing in the blood vessel because mm-hmm. it contains plaque. And mm-hmm. the doctors want to operate, remove the plaque, and put in a stent. And I want to know if there is a better way, an alternative way, that I don't have to have this surgery.
Yes, there are alternative ways. Have you investigated any of them?
Well, there's chelation.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's other ways, but I'm supposed to have it within a couple weeks.
Well, the problem with surgery is this. It's irreversible, whatever happens, you know. And it can be that surgery can be a good thing, and that they can do what the doctors are hoping that it will do. But there are also tremendous side effects to surgery as well. Because any time you cut into a body's tissue, you're interrupting the body processes. You're wounding the person. And there's a host of things that can go awry, which they don't want to tell you because they don't want you to panic. And we suggest, please don't panic. It's just that that's the way it functions. For you, and for anyone who is contemplating surgery, to recognize that it's really best for you, unless you're really totally clear on a personal, emotional, spiritual level, and you feel absolutely certain, absolutely in joy, and feeling the divine moving through you, that we would suggest first investigate all these other options. Because when you have a stenotic artery in your head, in order for them to open that up, they're going to have to do something with the brain tissue that's around it. And it's compressed. That's why the artery is narrowed. because there's pressure inside the head, inside the structure of the head. The bones are too compressed. The brain is too squeezed in there. There's not that much room for everything, all the glands and all the and everything that's in there. And so the body compensates. Everything gets narrowed. Everything gets smaller and compressed. The blood vessels. If you have a narrowed artery, you've had that for a long time. These things don't just show up. They kind of get, they're there, but over time, they can get worse. Because the skull, the cranium, and the tissues, as you age, gets much more compressed. It gets denser because you dehydrate. And that's just the way that, unfortunately, to this point, people age, right? And anytime you go over 40, you're starting to really dehydrate, and your hormones are which keep you hydrated, and your oils and fats which keep you hydrated are not working as effectively anymore. So this is not something that's new. It's something that's been with you a long time. We would suggest first try alternatives and go and seek at least to find out three different protocols that you can do. Go and check on the internet, for example, and look for all sorts of alternative resources to clear plaque out of your arteries. You may have to do quite a bit of a change in diet to eliminate all things that can trigger insulin into your body, i.e. all refined carbohydrates and sugar, and generally highly processed foods. And if you can do that, you might be able to get that plaque out, avoid surgery, and then you can go into working with your cranial, expanding and working with expanding your head, and allowing your body to find more hydration and more freedom there. That's the way we would look at it. Because if you rush into surgery, and you can be scared into it. It's really easy for them to scare you into it. Any moment now, you are going to die. But we have surgery for you, you see. And so you feel like there's this sword, what they call it, the sword of Damocles. The sword is hanging right over you, point right at you. At any moment, it would just let go and slam right into you, and that'd be it. And the doctors are very well practiced in scaring into doing any process or procedure that they think ought to be done. But you need other opinions. You need non-doctor opinions. You need alternative opinions. You need to go and really explore and research. We would suggest to postpone it for a little while longer. All right?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else?
Thank you.
And thank you for that question.
My name is Elizabeth, and I have a question for Galaxis.
We're here.
Okay. I'm very, very, very sensitive to the energies in the world, the fight between negative and positive. And even myself, outside of me, and even myself through an entire day, I go from negative to positive, but now positive most of the time, but sometimes negative is hitting me. And also, I don't know what this is about, but, okay, the other thing, too, is I realized that I guess I can heal headaches and stuff with my hands, and I was wondering if it's my imagination or should I continue to do that and just become a healer?
All right. Okay, you have two questions there. The first question, Well, let us answer the second one first, because that one is a little bit less complex. That one is, yes, you found that you have a gift. One of your gifts is showing up. And you did that by opening to yourself and opening to receive. All of you have many gifts. At this particular time on the planet, many of you are transitioning into your great work of your life, the destiny work. Why you came here, in a sense, is to let go of an old life that belonged to the consensus, that belonged to the mainstream, where you did not fit in or where you did not work as happily, to shift into being the you that you came to be, the you that is divine. And in that shift, you start opening to your gifts, your talents, your strengths, your powers, and a lot of stuff is coming through. And so we congratulate you, dear one, that you have opened up enough to allow yourself to receive one of your gifts. It's only a small part of that particular gift as a healer. But it's up to you as a choice what works for you, what you feel in your heart from moment to moment. In other words, don't go and commit yourself to being a healer. Oh, Galexis said, I'm a healer, so therefore I'm going to gung-ho, I'm going to be a healer. Because right now, you need to go gently. You need to take these gifts and play with them and work with them and integrate them and feel comfortable with that level of it so that it opens to the next level. And your guidance will also operate the same way. You don't want to go and immediately nail down a long-term future. You are a healer. You cannot not be a healer at this point any longer, because you have acknowledged that you have a gift. Right? What we would suggest for you to do is to find some kind of venue or avenue in which you can practice it, where you can put your hands on people. And it's not just going to be their heads. Yeah, you discovered it with headaches, but it's everything. It's anything. Now, it's safe to put your hands on somebody's head. People sometimes feel very strange if you put your hands in other places, you know. But you can always put your hands. There are several places you can put your hands on a body, and you can work on any part of the body from that place. One is on the shoulders on either side of the neck. Another one is by holding their hands. And another one is by having them lie down and with their shoes off and putting your middle finger into the very center of both feet. You can tune in there as well. And what that does, when you put your hands on the person, you can tune into their energy field and you can feel their restriction. You just sense it. It will come to you. And from there, you start intending. Now, we would recommend it might be very helpful for you to come to Daniel's class in energy healing. It could open your gift up. But don't commit yourself to a long-term process. Don't commit yourself to a career, let's put it that way. Because that career may be a little ways away, and you have other gifts that are coming. Let your guidance unfold for you beautifully in the now. Now, if you need to make money, do something for money that you already have studied for or have developed. But give yourself a time of no pressure so that you can, by your own motivation, express and change and share your gift. And every time you share it, not only do you help someone else heal, but you will also find that your capacity to do it and the energy and the dynamic, beautiful flow of the divine energy coming through you will be stronger. All right? So that's question two. Now, question one is about being torn between the dark and the light. And yes, you went through that for a long time. We would say that is the experience of duality. to have extreme of positive on this side, negative on this side, or maybe you like positive on this side, negative on this side. Doesn't matter. There's just a sense of polarity, and one is good and true and beautiful and bright and light, and the other is dark and bad and not so good and limiting and da 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 da. Now the object here is to live in the oneness, what the Buddha called the middle road. All right? To live in the oneness. It means that those extremes are united somehow. It's like a, it's a paradox. How does the dark and the light exist simultaneously? They do. You are only in tune with one side at a time. But what if you could sit in compassion and look at all of humanity? You'd see that all of humanity is suffering and celebrating all the time. You would see that the dark and the light are just different expressions of the one. You would see that the dark looks more limiting, but it's not bad, it's just limiting. It's a person limiting themselves by moving into the darkness. Just as when you find yourself feeling dark, you feel in a place that is limited. You don't feel expansive, you feel contracted. And when you're in your positive light states, you feel expanded, you feel flow. And when you're in dark, it's contracted and the flow is sluggish and it's kind of dark and it's kind of slow and thick or stopped. It's like when you breathe oxygen in. It's like bringing in light into your body as oxygen. Ah, it's so wonderful. It's so a blessing to breathe oxygen into your body, to breathe air in there. And it gets into your bloodstream and goes all over your body to send the message of light, of energy, of health and vigor. And if you don't breathe very much, if you breathe very, very shallowly, then your energy field goes dark. Your blood is dark. It doesn't have the oxygenation which makes it bright and colorful. It gets kind of dark, kind of purpley. That's why veins are blue, is because they don't have oxygen much in them. So the point we're making here is that you have learned how to stay more in the positive than in the negative. But you're still having a judgment about the negative. And that means that when you hit the negative, you can't just flow through that as easily as you flow through the positive. You're getting better. You've done so much, you can change so much. But what we would suggest then at this point is to be aware in your day, you're going along, you're feeling, ah, yeah, I'm feeling bright, I'm feeling expansive, I'm loving myself, I'm loving others. Sometimes you get ungrounded there. Sometimes you kind of wander off into the Ethereum. And that's what people call the space cadet, you know. And this is not a judgment. Space cadet is a judgment. That's a term, derogatory term, saying, you know, you're just way out there and you're not attending to practical things. You're not really grounded. You're not really here. The thing is that you can be here and you can be there simultaneously. What you have learned is more and more you're here and there. Yes?
Yes.
You're learning how to integrate this. Because there was a time where you wandered out there. And when you wandered out there, you became connected to all the crazy twisted stuff in the vibrational force field that was out there on the planet. And you got like sucked up into it. Because when you're not grounded and centered in yourself, you can get lost in whatever comes your way. But you've dealt with that for the most part. You're almost done with it. But you still have these periods where you go into and to darkness. Our suggestion is this. When a period of darkness comes, notice it. Oh, I'm feeling more negative. What is it? What is that negativity? Okay, is it a negative emotion, i.e. a limiting state where you're holding on to some anger that you cannot express? Or you're feeling guilt about something? Or whether you're afraid of something and you don't really want to look at it, it makes you nervous to look at it. Are you avoiding it, resisting it? It's really about resisting your feelings, okay? That's one thing to look out. The second thing is when the negativity or darkness seems to come into your life, is it because there's someone in your environment that is suffering? Is there someone that you can give love to who needs you? Or not needs you to in a burdensome kind of way, but needs love, needs energy. Sometimes you tune into people around you way too much. Now you're getting better on that as well, but this can also be one of those possibilities. What person around you is suffering? Find that person and send them love, and the darkness will lift. Okay? A third one is that you just might be taking your life too seriously at the moment. Oh gosh, there's this I'm in this financial crunch, or I've got to deal with this report, I've got to make this presentation, I've got this, you know, relationship crisis that I've got to deal with, I've got whatever it is. And there, you might be taking yourself, I've got to do the right thing now, I've got to make the right choice, I can't make a mistake. If you get like that with yourself, definitely you're going to stay stuck in that for a little longer. But once you find out what it is, you say, oh, I see what it is. Okay, I don't need to hang out with that. I understand. I realize I have a resistance to expressing some anger I have at somebody because I have a judgment that I'm not okay to be angry. So I'm just going to go and express my anger and just to myself. Mentally, I'm going to see that person. I'm going to say, you motherfucker. Just blow them away. Ah. Oh, okay. They're gone. You got it out.